Welcome to Day 89 of Happier People Podcast. Here with me, Jerry Banfield. Would you like to hear about the worst panic attack I experienced in my life for the purpose of sharing with you what I've learned about preventing panic attacks? I used to think panic attacks were something that wouldn't happen to me. I used to think that panic attacks were something that couldn't happen to me, and that they were stupid, that they happened to other people, and that they were just kind of made up, that they didn't really exist. And then I had a really good one day. I was at home alone. My wife was at work. I have my own business, as you can see from me doing this online here. And I was putting some chlorine tablets in the chlorinator in the pool. Everything was going fine. I was a little anxious, a little on edge, which that wasn't unusual. And I dropped the chlorine tablets in the pool, in the chlorinator. There was a little bit of water sitting in the bottom of it, and the chlorine tablets splashed up. The water splashed up in my eyes. From there, I flipped out because I was afraid that I'd got a little bit of chlorine in my eyes and I was going to go blind, and all this fear came up immediately. And I reacted really over the top. I went and stuck my eyeballs underneath the water in the kitchen faucet and washed my eyes out for like 30 minutes. Apparently, if you put, and I remembered all these poison protocol trainings I'd been through as a police officer and a corrections officer, and I remembered that you gotta wash your eyes out. Wash your eyes out. So I washed, the more I washed my eyes, the more my vision started to blur. The more I could barely see anything at all, and the more I continued to feed the initial reaction. I called the poison control lady as I'm in the shower after I've taken all my clothes off so I can wash my eyes out with the shower instead of just using the sink. I don't have to worry about getting water all over myself. And the poison control lady says, "We don't even know if you're going to be all right now after getting chlorine in your eye." And I'm like crying. And then I'm just praying, like, "God, please don't let me go blind. Please, God, don't let me go blind." And I'll do anything if you restore my vision. So I eventually just hung up on the poison control lady. And I called my wife. I'm like, "Oh my God, I got chlorine in my eyes. Can you please drive an hour to come home from work early and help me?" I called my dad up and I called him up and said, "Dad, oh my God, I got this chlorine in my eyes." And he, of course, he'd done something worse. He'd got a bunch of bleach all over his face before, and it took him weeks to heal up from it. And he was fine, and I didn't even know that had happened. So my vision started to come back pretty quickly. After I stopped putting water in my eyes, my vision managed to come back. And once my vision came back, then my eyes hurt, but I just tried to forget about the whole thing. Now, at the same time, I was trying to stay sober as well, so I was trying to not drink, and that I used drinking to fix my anxiety. I had a lot of anxiety in my life because I was always afraid of what was going to happen in the future, or hoping the future would save me from the miserable present circumstances. So what did I do the next day? The next day, I remember I'd prayed to God before that I'd do anything to restore my vision. The next day, I totally forgot about all that stuff. Except I said, "You know what? I had a hard day yesterday. I got chlorine in my eyes. I think I deserve a drink today. I deserve to have a day where I can just get drunk, play some video games, and forget about everything." And I didn't even learn anything out of the panic attack at the time. In fact, I tried to minimize it and act like it didn't even happen. I tried to just move on and be like, "No, I'm cool. What? I don't have panic attacks." And as I got worse then, and my life continued to go downhill, I was forced to either become a better person and stop living the way I was living, where you have panic attacks. If you're selfish, you only think about you all the time. See, if something like the chlorine in my eye had happened now and I got upset about it, I would hope I would remember gratitude for people helping me. See, at the time, I wasn't grateful my wife drove home from work and called out of work early. That's what you do for your husband. I wasn't grateful my dad spent an hour listening to me whine on the phone. Like, I'm your son, you ought to do that. And I wasn't grateful the poison control lady dealt with me while she was at work. Well, that's where you work. I didn't have gratitude for all the things other people did in my life. So I had, and then once I learned and realized, as I stopped being so selfish all the time and started thinking about what can I do for other people, because I realized I was going to die if I didn't stop thinking about me all the time. What I want. One of the most worst questions to ask yourself all the time is, what do I want? And what would help me feel better? These are questions, when you ask these, you get all these bad things that come into your life. All these bad decisions. So I start asking, like to make this video, I asked, what is the most helpful thing I could talk about for you today? Not for the whole world, not to get the most views, but what is the highest impact thing I could share that might make a real difference in your life? That you might see and think, you know what, I have those, or someone else in my life has those, and you can be loving and understanding. My wife was really nice about it. So what I've learned as I've focused on health being my number one priority, healthy people, when you're taking good care of yourself, there's not a need to have a panic attack. And it's called prevention. When you live a life based on service for other people, based on putting the right things in your body, based on not putting the wrong things in your body, like alcohol, cigarettes, I even think based on the science, animal proteins and products, and drugs, prescription, whether a doctor gives them to you or otherwise, or illegal drugs, that's how I live today. And I living like that requires having a commitment to service, being grateful for the chance to be alive, being focused relentlessly on what is the most helpful thing I can do today to be of service to others. And that then prevents me from getting in those states most of the time of fear, anxiety, frustration. To me, panic attacks are a reflection of suppressed emotions. That you're going around trying to act like everything's cool. I'm good. How are you today? I'm good. My thing used to be, I'd always say wonderful. No matter what the truth was, when someone asked me how I was doing, I'd always say wonderful. And my family knew that if I said something like good, that I was having a really miserable day because the best I could lie was good. That I had enough honesty to not say I was doing wonderful. So I've learned today that if I don't want to have panic attacks, I need to spot the little negative emotions coming up when they're small. I need to, the power I have today is based on my reaction to things. So I don't have much power over the first thing that happens, although the first thing that happens tends to be a product of the last thing I did. So if I just walked up to someone and slapped them, then, and they slapped me back, sure, I might not have had a choice of them slapping me back, but I did have the choice to not slap them to start with. So most of the things in life that are bad that happen to us often are the result of us giving out something bad to start with. So I've learned, don't give that bad thing out to start with. If I don't want a driver to lose his mind and try and run me off the road, then I probably shouldn't lay on my horn and tailgate them for 5 miles. It sounds simple, but yet these are the things that feed into panic attacks. These are the things that feed into just lose your mind and let the crazy out. That's all these negative emotions build together. And then when you try and hold them in and control them, and something short circuits it, something, the straw that breaks the camel's back. When that one last thing happens, it pushes you over the edge. See, it's funny and yet sad to see so many people that they're just one straw away from having a panic attack, from completely losing it. They're one email away from just going postal or just acting out, going wild. And what I've found is that I've got to handle all those little things in my life and not let all of those little things build up to put me in a position where I'm one little thing. I'm one driver cutting me off away from losing it, from being the one that runs them off the road and tailgating them and honking my horn and changing lanes and cutting them off. And I'm grateful then to have learned that by doing it wrong so many times. My panic attacks, I've had lots of panic attacks in my life. I just didn't even know that's what they were called. I've had lots of times, like, for example, I had a panic attack one day I was trying to sign into the Fios to watch The Sopranos with my wife. And for some reason, it just didn't work that night. It wouldn't work when I signed in on Xbox. It wouldn't work on the laptop. I refreshed that night. It just didn't work. And I lost it. I jumped up and screamed. I slammed the ground. I cussed. My wife's like, oh my God, who are you? Who did I marry? See, I managed to kind of keep that secret for the first couple of years of our relationship. I managed to have all my panic attacks while she wasn't around, like when she was at work. And yet that one just came out. And now I've got a more broad definition of a panic attack. When you completely lose it, that's a panic attack. When you're freaking out and going all over the place and are violent and screaming and raging, that's a panic attack. And I've been like that a lot of times in my life. The thing is, a lot of us take other alcohol and other substances and we try and use those as an excuse. Like, well, man, if I hadn't been high, I've heard this one a lot. The main one for me, if I hadn't been drunk, I wouldn't have freaked out like that. You know, I wouldn't have just lost it. I had tons of panic attacks while I drink. And the problem is, things like drinking and drugs, alcohol, these things, while they might eliminate the anxiety in the short term that leads to a panic attack, when you can't get to them or don't have them, or sometimes when something happens in the middle of using them, then the crazy will come out a lot easier. So I used to like to be able to get drunk and blame my panic attacks on alcohol. Well, if I hadn't had, you know, 10 beers and 15 shots that night, I probably wouldn't have lost it and jumped on the bar and been screaming at everyone and then cried on the way home. I probably wouldn't have done that without the alcohol. What I learned is that panic attacks are, they're something that happens to you, to me, if I'm not paying attention to my life right now. See, panic attacks are based on this fear of the future. Or whether it's fear that you won't get what you want, or fear that you're going to lose something you already have. Like, for example, I had this panic attack in the shower after getting, all over the house, but after getting the chlorine in my eyes, I had this panic attack that I was going to lose my vision. The fact was, I didn't lose my vision. Even after I'd washed my eyes out for 30 minutes, I could still see enough that a pair of glasses could have probably fixed it. So at no point did I actually lose my vision, but I was afraid of losing my vision. And that's a pretty powerful fear, to be afraid of losing your vision. But this can come up for anything else. You can be afraid of losing your partner, afraid. I had lots of panic attacks over losing partners, losing jobs, losing a status, losing, getting bad grades. And I've searched on YouTube. People have had panic attacks about everything in about every place. And the word panic is basic. Panic attack is a synonym is a spasm. It's almost like a seizure, like this involuntary thrill. Oh God. And that's just a complete loss of what you might call self-control. Well, most of us, for me, my self-control is kind of like a muscle. So if you go burn up your self-control all the time on all these little things, then one more thing happens and you're over the edge. I try and structure my life today. I try and solve as many problems as I have in my life today and accept the ones I can't do anything about. That way, I am not having to use my self-control all the time to deal with things. I'm not having to resist temptation all the time. And then when something legitimately bad happens that I can't control, then I'm ready for it. Like one day, I had a hard time. My daughter was like choking on something, and I hadn't been taking very good care of myself. I hadn't been showing up enough as a parent. And then I lost it, and I got mad, and I had a panic attack. I raged, and instead of being helpful, I just got frustrated that my daughter was choking. And that panic attack taught me, you need to be ready for something like that at all times. And by ready, it's not like on guard. Like, I'm going to be ready and I'm going to force so nothing bad happens. It's more like I need to be centered. I need to be peaceful. I need to be ready and prepared for anything that might happen that's challenging, so that I can face that in a good place. And not face it in a place of, because one more thing happens, it's just, and I want to be the person who makes room and can love and comfort others when they feel like that, because I've been the person way too often who others have needed the love and comfort through that. You know, my friends carrying me home, I'm drunk and crying, I can't believe she said that and she won't go out with me anymore. You know, my friends comforted me so many times when I had drunk panic attacks. My wife has been there through so many different things now. And it takes a lot of love to get healed from that. And it takes for me, I tell you this today because I want to remember it. I'm not here to show you anything that I'm not working on myself. I would like to live a life today. I ask the question, what do I have to do to never have another panic attack again? What do I have to do the next time my daughter has some emergency to be cool? And not fake cool, like I'm acting cool, but really inside I'm about to lose it. But really actually calm. Because most human beings respond really well to genuine calmness. In fact, when I bring enough genuine calmness with me, anyone who is upset tends to take it down a peg or two without me saying anything, without me doing anything. They simply feel how calm I am, and they take it down a peg or two. They talk a little quieter. I had a lady the other day who shared something with me she was upset about. And she didn't scream and rage and have a panic attack on me. I was very calm and she shared it. And I noticed the discomfort build up in me as she continued to share what she didn't like that I was doing. I was saying all these things she thought shouldn't be said. And I'm grateful today that when I see those little signs of discomfort, I realize those are the seeds. Those are the beginning of having a panic attack. And if you handle the beginning of it, you won't have to deal with the full-blown thing. So this means on a daily basis, there's often anywhere from 1 to 5 or 10 different times a minor discomfort, a little inconvenience, someone says something, another driver does something. For example, another driver the other day sped up and then cut in front of me. And what comes up? The first reaction is fear. Oh my God, I'm afraid that we're going to wreck when you did that. For a moment, there's fear that, oh my God, we're going to wreck. And then is my chance to have a choice. Do I want to engage in that fear? Or do I want to be grateful that we, in fact, did not wreck? Because I've nearly wrecked a whole lot of times with my aggressive driving, with going crazy on other drivers, and other drivers one-upping me. I've nearly wrecked lots of times. So the question is, how fast will I remember my gratitude for what nearly happened and did not? I saw someone just like me, I was going to get a massage, I guess this was a year ago now, and there's no stop sign, so it's in a shopping center. When you turn off the road, there's no stop sign coming in. So it's a four-way, it's an intersection. So there's 3 stop signs, and then when you come in, there's no stop sign. So then right when the car in front of me nearly gets hit by someone running the stop sign because they don't realize there's no stop sign. So they just pull out right in front of the other car. The other car comes in this way and nearly hits them. Meanwhile, the passenger in the car flips out, flicks the other car off, even though the driver of his car was completely wrong. The passenger flips out, flicks them off. And from my point of view, I'm like, damn, there I am. That passenger, that's me for most of my life, and thank God I don't have to be like that today. Because what I saw grace. I saw 2 cars that nearly hit each other that didn't. That's really nice, a good reminder that, hey, anytime I drive somewhere, I'm happy to get there in one piece. And you can see the same situation each way. So for me, if I don't want to have panic attacks today, I have to see things in a positive way. And even when my initial reaction is negative, which it often is, I have a choice about what I follow that up with. When someone does something I don't like driving, is the first thing I do to escalate it with a horn honk, a finger going out the window, my lights going back and forth, you know, the brights on and off at night, like, oh my God, you did the worst thing to me ever, and I'm going to turn my lights on and off to let you know about that? Or is my initial reaction to say, thank God we didn't just wreck? Thank you for driving. I had a guy yesterday while I was taking my daughter out for a little we went and played at a children's museum. I was taking my daughter out, and this guy, it's a six-lane road with a turn lane in the middle. So three lanes each way with a turn lane in the middle. And this guy comes out and pulls out in traffic on the other side, making a left turn into my side. So he's coming out this way, and he nearly hits me right here. He stops just right near the car. And instead, the cool thing is, this time I didn't even have the initial negative reaction. I've conditioned so many times of being nice to people that I just immediately said, "Nice job." And that I obviously he couldn't hear me, but my thought pattern was, "Nice job. You did a great job of pulling out in traffic and no one wrecked their car. Nice job. Like you did that. You did that good enough." And I'm grateful that none of us wrecked our cars, especially since I've got my 17-month-old in the back. We're going to have fun and play. I'm very glad we didn't just wreck right now. And that is the key for me. That exact thing, that line of thinking, that's something I have to practice every day and work on every day, because when I've got my daughter in the car, I very easily could get worked up to pulling, forcing, running someone off the road, getting out of the car, and probably I'd get beat up. They probably be able to beat me up, and I'm pretty skinny now. So, it's very important for me. When something happens with your child in the car, it's even more of a thing than just you. So today, you could say the opportunity for me to have panic attacks is greater than ever, and I'm grateful I've learned how to not go there. And yet, I'm not immune to having another one. I could have another panic attack in 10 minutes if I forget what I just told you. And that's why I share this, because I want to remember it. I want to remember what I do on a daily basis that gives me freedom from having panic attacks. So my exercise today is to continue watching for things, continue watching for signs, which include, and I'm actually going to read this part, most of the rest is no script. My exercise for today is to continue watching for self-pity, anger, frustration, helplessness, resentment, fear, inconsideration. I see I put frustration in the description twice, and jealousy. I keep a lookout for these things on an every moment basis, because as soon as one of those comes up, I'm vulnerable. As soon as one of those comes up, I have the chance to react with love and acceptance and then let that go. So that gives me the chance. So when my Fios login doesn't work, I don't flip off and go off and scare everyone. So I'm very grateful you've watched this. This is the 89th day of my Happier People podcast, available on YouTube and Facebook. I appreciate you watching. I really do these live. I know. So I will thank Random Bike Trips. No, I did not combine Xanax with vodka. Thank you for asking. Flabby Flea, Casimo, Sergey. Thank you for stopping in today. I appreciate you thanking me for sharing. And I see that the live feature, it is working on Facebook. Fret, thank you for watching on Facebook. If you've listened to this on iTunes or Google Music or my website, thank you very much. I hope you have a wonderful day today. I try and do these every single day because I want a happier life for myself. And my mission, the reason I'm here on Earth, is to help you and every other person on this planet have the very happiest life possible. Thank you, and I hope you have a wonderful day today.